Hello and welcome to the Coastal Communities Town Hall. I'm Tom Hudson, special correspondent for WLRN Radio. I host the Sunshine Economy on Mondays and the Florida Roundup on Fridays. This conversation we're going to have here in Broward County is part of WLRN's special coverage of this very important issue for South Florida. We call it Elevation Zero, Rising Seas in South Florida. You know, this peninsula that we call home, this place we call Florida, is really a harbinger for the rest of the nation when it comes to the threat of higher sea levels. We're here at the Broward County Convention Center in Fort Lauderdale, ground level about 7 feet above sea level, just over 2 meters in scientist speak. And while the forecasts certainly vary, by the end of this century, the median global sea level is expected to be between half to three-quarters of a meter higher than it is as we sit here today at the Convention Center, putting this building, putting much of South Florida, and much of America's coastal communities that much closer to the sea. Water, as we know, does not discriminate. It doesn't make distinctions between rich and poor. It doesn't make a distinction between scientist and layperson. And it certainly doesn't make a distinction between red state and blue state. Now, elected officials from both political parties were invited to participate in this conversation we're going to have here now about coastal communities, policies, and the roles of various levels of governments in the response and finding solutions to the threat of higher seas. However, none of the Republican invitees accepted the invitation. Many pointed to their busy fall schedules. Legislative session is ramping up for their inability to accommodate this event. The threat of rising seas does not respect political boundaries. It doesn't stop at a county or state line. Neither do the responses, which is why we have brought together here today leaders from the federal government, from the state government, and county government to discuss our coastal communities at this town hall. Let's introduce our panelists, the Honorable Bobby Powell with the Florida House of Representatives. Bob Perciasepe is the Deputy Administrator for the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, a longtime regulator with us here today. The Honorable Patrick Murphy, representing the 18th Congressional District here in the state of Florida. Representative Lois Frankel from the 22nd Congressional District in Florida. The Honorable Elijah Cummings, the representative from the 7th Congressional District in the great state of Maryland, has made the trip down here to South Florida to discuss coastal communities. Welcome, Congressman Cummings. And the Honorable Kristen Jacobs, the mayor of our home county here for this event, Broward County. Our conversation for coastal communities and our town hall event here on WLRN should begin at the water's edge, after all, even when a portion of that edge right here in Broward County, not too far from where we're meeting, fell into the sea just a year ago as Hurricane Sandy churned 200 miles offshore.
My name is Molly Myers. I live right on A1A, and I grew up here, and I've seen the water come across the road with high tides and the moon in certain positions, but I'd never seen it come across the way it did that time, again and again and again, until it just built up sand and water and actually damaged A1A. My neighbors would come down and have a glass of wine on my patio out there, and we'd watch the kayakers coming down the middle of A1A.
Glass of wine and kayakers in the middle of A1A, rising seas as evidence right here in Fort Lauderdale. A lot of forces are at play, certainly when a major roadway is claimed by a storm surge that's churning several hundred miles offshore, but it's just the latest evidence of the threat of rising seas here in the vulnerable area of South Florida. Mr. Perciasepe from the EPA, what evidence are you aware as a regulator of the threat of rising seas?
Back in 2009, EPA did a scientific and peer-reviewed study compiling information from around the world looking at the endangerment that could occur from global warming and climate change. And, you know, the warming is the action, the climate change is the result. And we have found through all the analysis of all the science that's out there already that not only is sea level rising, but also the atmosphere is changing, and we're getting increased energy and increased frequency of storms.
Mayor Jacobs, you heard the story from Ms. Myers and kayaks in A1A. This happened, of course, in your jurisdiction in Broward County?
Well, you know, having served on the county commission now for 15 years, it's an interesting thing to see as the years go by, the evidence continuing to accumulate. We regularly go out with the full moon and expect high tides to come in. No rain, just tides moving in through the very system that was designed to drain water off has now become the conduit to bring tides in. So they are inundating our roadways, in many cases bubbling up through pavers in the road or in the sidewalk areas. We have photographs of homeowners swimming on the street in front of their homes. We have business owners in this last high tide event where $50,000 worth of damage on businesses right off Las Olas, and some business owners starting to wonder whether they should be expanding in that location and perhaps maybe moving further inland, only to understand that our whole system is connected through a series of canals. In fact, 1,800 linear miles of canals keep Broward free of water, and that we sit lower than the actual Everglades. And so there is no idea of retreat from the coast without understanding that we are connected by all these waterways. And so while you may think moving inland might keep you safe from water, we learned through, for example, the Halloween storm of 2011, that you had increased ponding because of extreme rain events that did not drain because of sea level rise happening at that same time. And so when water's hanging around for 2 weeks inland, it's as much of a problem for them out there as it is for those who are on the coastal side.
Congresswoman Frankel, your district runs from here north to Riviera Beach. You've been a municipal mayor now in Congress. Talk to us about how you've seen evidence change in your time in public service.
That's an easy one for me. I was mayor of West Palm Beach for 8 years, and the extreme weather patterns really affected us. It is the drought that affected our water supply, and one particular year, we came within 30 days of having no water at all, and we had to go to really extreme emergency procedures in order to get drinking water. So we have lived the climate change.
So make the connection between not having enough water to having too much water, like Mayor Jacobs talks about.
I'm going to let Patrick Murphy, because I know that's right up his alley, and I know he'd like to answer that question.
A punt to your colleague there, Congressman Murphy.
Well, thank you, Lois, for that. And my district's just a little bit north of here, basically North Palm Beach, Martin, and St. Lucie County. What's happening especially are two main factors. Number one, beach erosion because of the rising sea levels. Not enough sea dunes, not enough really space between the development and the beach and the roads. And then number two are the discharges from Lake Okeechobee. With climate change has often come more rainfall. This particular year in my district, we had around 150% above average rainfall. When you have that much water going into the Everglades and especially Lake Okeechobee, it's got to come out somewhere. It ended up coming out in my district, and water was labeled toxic in three different places, literally toxic. We are not funding the infrastructure needed to assess and to contain this water. And what it's done is affect our economy. Look, even if you don't care from a moral level, even if it doesn't mean something to you and your family, then you should care about the economic impact. And for every dollar spent fixing our local infrastructure in my district, for every dollar spent on the local environment, it comes back 3-1 to the economy.
So I still want to make that connection, Congresswoman Frankel, between your drought comment as evidence to rising seas of too much water. Help us make that connection.
Well, to make the connection, I'm not the scientist here, but I definitely am a believer. There is something happening to our climate. There's no question. I've lived in Florida now since a long time, since 1975, and I remember when every afternoon there was a thunder and lightning shower. Remember that years ago, electric showers and lots of rain, and you went through that pattern. Then we went through patterns of the drought. Sometimes we have flooding, and I think it makes it very difficult for planning. You do, as Congressman Murphy has said, you have infrastructure failures. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Congressman Cummings, as our guest here in South Florida, compare what you're hearing from your colleagues on the legislative side as evidence that they're seeing in their districts here in South Florida to what your constituents in Maryland are experiencing, which includes, we should say, Baltimore's Inner Harbor.
When I walked in the room to see all of the people here, I was surprised. because this is not an issue in many areas that would draw this kind of crowd. As a matter of fact, probably in my district, you could probably have this forum in a 9x9 room, literally. You know, the thing, the biggest problem that we have is trying to make people, first of all, realize that there is a problem, and two, that they can do something about it. I had an interesting situation in the airport today that showed me the problem. When I came into the Fort Lauderdale airport, I was welcomed by a gentleman who was celebrating his 80th birthday. He said, "You're that guy on MSNBC, right?" And he says, I couldn't believe he was saying this. He said, "You know, that climate change stuff, that's a lot of bunk." He said, my son-in-law used to be at the Naval Academy. He's an expert. And he says that it's just cycles. This is a cycle. I said, "Well, how long does it take to do a cycle?" He said, 30 years. I said, "That means you've lived through a couple of these cycles." And he was convinced. You know, I know that we have got to convince some folk that climate change does have an effect and that we can do something about it. Because people do things for one of two reasons, or a combination of both, either to gain pleasure or to avoid pain.
Well, there's another cycle that lasts 30 years, and that's usually a standard conventional mortgage. And certainly, the real estate market is one of those pillars of the South Florida economy. Representative Powell, I have to ask you, in regards to this, we had a comment from our Public Insight Network at WLRN Miami Herald News from Sean Atkinson from Hollywood, who wrote us saying, quote, "South Florida will be completely gone in a few decades, just when most of us finish paying our mortgage. Our homes will be worthless." Talk to us about the State House.
You know, in the state of Florida, in South Florida, once you get past Palm Beach County or Martin County, it becomes more difficult to talk about climate change because some people aren't really seeing the effects that we see. I think it takes, when it becomes an emergency, for people to start acting upon it. Here in the state of Florida, especially our southeast area, I think we've started the conversation. We anticipate continuing to move on that conversation with our Southeast Region delegation, but also engaging other parts. What it takes is a level of collaboration, first with us and then with the rest of the state.
We had another comment from our Public Insight Network at WLRN Miami Herald News. George from Miami Shores wrote us, "Notice that many of the pioneer homes, estates, and early subdivisions were built on the bluff, not down on the bayfront. Those old-timers knew what they were doing and had a healthy respect for Mother Nature." This does get into the conversation about the level of evidence that's being accepted by private industry, developers, real estate, financiers, because private industry does play a big role in meeting the challenge of rising seas. Mr. Perciasepe from the Environmental Protection Agency, how engaged is private industry with this issue?
I think it's starting to change. I really believe when you look at the insurance agents, the insurance industry, they're starting to look at this as a long-term risk. When you look at most of the major corporations in the United States, they have moved heavily into the concept of sustainability, and they're taking into account the long-term impacts of climate change on their operations and their facilities. And I do believe that this is changing from what it has been. And EPA is spending quite a bit of time over this, over the last several months and into the winter here, reaching out to industry as we look forward to implementing the president's climate action plans.
Congressman Cummings, you're a longtime legislator. You've worked with private industry a long time on crafting regulations. Is private industry being dragged along, or are now they beginning to perhaps really lead and participate in the discussion?
I sit on the government, I'm the ranking member of the Government Oversight and Reform Committee, and we spend a phenomenal amount of time defending regulations. I think there's some industry that's coming along. Some.
Which types of industries are coming along
The furthest? You've got folks, first of all, who have a conscience and who have a belief that this is bigger than them, and that it's not about the next dollar, but it's not about the next generation. You have some people that are really conscious about those things, and they realize that it's good business to produce green jobs. It's good to have a strong environment. It's good to them to pass on a better environment than the one they found when they came up on the earth. That you have those.
Congressman, would you like to name any names or any specific industries?
No, I can't name you. I don't have any names right now. But I know they're there.
I know there's a lot more discussion. We do have to move on here. Still to come from the Coastal Communities Town Hall and the Southeast Florida Regional Climate Leadership Summit here at the Broward County Convention Center, the challenges of communicating a risk that may still be decades away. Stay tuned.
The whole science of climate change has also gotten mixed in terms of the public's view, in terms of the political implications and the policy implications of what these changes mean.
This is a Coastal Communities Town Hall on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thank you for listening. We are at the Climate Leadership Summit at the Broward County Convention Center in Fort Lauderdale. Our guests include Florida State Representative Bobby Powell, Deputy Administrator for the U.S. EPA, Bob Perciasepe, Florida U.S. Congressman Patrick Murphy, Florida Congresswoman Lois Frankel, from Maryland, Congressman Elijah Cummings, and the Mayor of Broward County, Kristen Jacobs. Thank you all for joining us here on WLRN. Now, the response and the work toward solutions.
It's not something that's risen to the level yet. The department feels that we have to set a statewide policy on this issue yet.
That's Jim Wood. He's the Director of Policy at the Florida Department of Transportation, telling WLRN Miami Herald News the issue of sea level rise has not risen to a level that the department feels that it needs to have a statewide policy in terms of taking into account higher seas for projects that the Department of Transportation is involved in. So we'll put this question to our state representative, Powell. This is a state agency that has said sea level rise, not a big enough issue statewide to have an official policy and practices in place for developers that are doing transportation projects to take in account rising sea level. Should it?
I think that it should. The issue comes about when we talk about transportation projects, and earlier Congresswoman Frankel talked about in different districts what are the most important issues. When it comes to climate change, a lot of times we don't identify the issues directly related to climate change. When it comes to road and infrastructure projects, some of the reasons that these roads need to be replaced or the expansion of roads directly relate to the changing of the environment. Instead of maybe expanding roads, maybe we could create development that will allow people to live closer together so that now we could use we'd have a better use of intermodal transportation systems. In planning, we look at projects 30, 40, 50 years out. And also in transportation, they look at projects 30, 40, 50 years out. However, when they look at those projects, they haven't identified the reasons that roads may need to be replaced or why we need to expand capacity, what will relate to sustainability, how can we do something that will be sustainable, because we have a hard time here in the state of Florida identifying climate change to make sure it's an issue.
Bob Perciasepe, just from a administrative point of view, the administration has told government agencies to begin thinking, taking into account climate change and rising seas. How was that articulated amongst the EPA, for instance, as an agency?
The president put in the executive order, he wants every federal agency, and we've been doing that since he did his action plan in June, every agency to do it, including the U.S. Department of Transportation. There is a strong relationship between land use and transportation, and there's a strong relationship between land use and the amount of vehicle miles everybody drives every day and how that results in emissions. Even if the automobiles become 50% more fuel efficient, which they will under EPA regulations, and the Federal Department of Transportation regulations, it still behooves us to reduce the number of miles we drive every day. While we're looking at adapting and dealing with the fact that we're going to have to face some impacts and already are facing impacts of climate change, to the extent we can do things that are also going to continue to reduce greenhouse gas emissions so it doesn't get horribly worse at the end of this century for our children, is really important for us to be thinking through.
There's the reinforcement, the resilience, and then there are solutions to it. We've got lots of audience questions that we do want to get to here, so let's go ahead and begin this segment with an audience question.
My name is Adrian Kaltman, and I am from the town of Davie in Broward County. With flood insurance premiums increasing, homeowners will have difficulty affording flood insurance and making it difficult to sell their homes. What is being done to help homeowners who live in coastal areas and will no longer be able to afford to pay their flood insurance premiums?
Congressman Murphy, go ahead. This is certainly a federal issue, as the National Flood Insurance Program is administrated through FEMA.
Yes, and I'm actually on the Financial Services Committee that has taken a lead at addressing this right now. There's the National Flood Insurance, and it was fairly sustainable program until Katrina and then Sandy. It's now $27 billion in debt, I believe. So there was an attempt called Brigit Waters to address this deficit. What happened, however, is there was remapping done, and there was supposed to be an affordability study done when the maps were put into place. FEMA pushed a little hard and a little quickly, and what's happened is we've seen some home owners, their rates have gone up about 4,000%. That's unsustainable. That is unrealistic. Can't happen. And you want to talk about dampening a slow recovery here in South Florida in real estate. That'll especially do it. So there's a bill that was just released, I think it was October 29th, a few days ago. I'm one of the original co-sponsors. I think some of my colleagues are on it as well. And basically what it does is delay the implementation of that bill. I think the broader point here is that something has to be done. And what we all are talking about here is where we're living. You know, folks maybe a little bit smarter than us, our ancestors used to build their houses on elevated areas. That didn't flood as much. We have now inhabited so many areas in these flood basins, but it is what it is. It's the reality of where we're at. Instead of, as government agencies, just completely trying to regulate away, is incentivizing businesses and looking at public-private partnerships and how we can incentivize smart construction and smart techniques.
People need a sense of peace of mind. And so, you know, I think that we are headed towards an answer, as Murphy said, but this is a tough one.
Yeah, it certainly is a tough one. It includes, I think, 40% of the exposure in that program is right here in the Sunshine State of Florida. So this is where those stakeholders live for the great deal. Another question from the audience. Go ahead.
I'll make it a little tougher for you. I'm Philip Stoddard, professor of biology at FIU by day and mayor of South Miami by night. So I'm the mayor at the moment. My question is, if sea level rise follows the schedule projected by the IPCC, the International Panel on Climate Change, how soon might the 30-year mortgage go extinct in low-lying communities?
Now, certainly this is a question for a financial service professional, but I will put it to the regulators here, since two of the government-sponsored entities that are behind insuring a number of those mortgages are now in conservatorship, with three of the folks up here being that they, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, are under the guise of the U.S. Congress and the U.S. government. How long for this world is the 30-year mortgage?
I think it's perhaps a realistic question. I certainly hope we don't have to face it. But when you do look at the numbers, that might be a reality. Pretty sad circumstance to actually have to think about. And certainly something that is not discussed in Congress right now. And unfortunately, so much of Congress is back to whether climate change is even happening or not.
The practicality of this is, if the cost of flood insurance keeps going up and you can't get hurricane insurance, they're not going to be homeowners. People are not going to be even looking for 30-year mortgages. And that's why our entire, if you look at Florida, you saw what happened when we stopped selling homes. We went into an economic depression in this state. It's not just about certain people not being able to get flood insurance. I mean, you would see dramatic effects on our entire economy if people stopped. We're not able to sell their homes, or people didn't want to buy homes. Let's face it, we have to reduce the amount of fossil fuel that we use, right? Isn't that the big, we'll call that the elephant in the room? And so, certainly you could try economic incentives to get companies to have less carbon emissions. I think that would be a tough sell in Congress right now. But investing in research and development, that certainly, to me, is something positive. There are ways to play offense. And then the defense, which you have mentioned, steering growth away from the flood zones, moving drinking wells inland, adapting building codes, using better materials to build your bridges and your roads and so forth. Those are the kinds of things I think you can start to do, just a few of the things you could do defensively.
And Tom, just on that point, I think what the Congresswoman is saying is so important, is to understand that while there may be those Neanderthal thinkers like that guy from the Florida Department of Transportation, I'm shocked at what he said. But the truth is that whether Congress or our state are sitting in a place of disbelief, believing in magic rather than science, South Florida government knows what's coming, has adopted across four counties 110 specific recommendations, both that deal with adaptation as well as mitigation, that the answers of local government to take our resources and move towards solutions is what we're doing now.
Find that balance between those long-term solutions that all the legislators up here have talked about when it comes to the fossil fuel industry especially, and the immediate concern for jobs.
I think, actually, Professor Seppi, if you really listen to what he just talked about a few minutes ago, about reducing, increasing the mileage on a gallon of gas, reducing how much you have to spend on electricity in your house and stuff like that, I mean, that's where the balance comes. It's how do you use your resources and use them smartly so that there's a win-win situation. In my office, we just put in a little switch, the thing that turns your lights off and on, and we save somewhere between $250 and $300 a month.
One of the examples that Mr. Perciasepe cited was the higher emission standards and higher fuel efficiency standards. We have another question from the audience.
Hi, I'm Judy Cookta. I'm from Hollywood Beach, Florida. And I was just wondering, what type of automobile does each member of this panel drive, including Tom Hudson?
I'll gladly tell you. I drive a six-cylinder, which gets awful gas mileage, and I am unhappy about it. I moved here from the city of Chicago, where I was a one-car household. One of the first things that I had to do when I moved to South Florida, anybody want to take a guess? Had to buy a car. Mayor Jacobs.
I have a Honda Odyssey. I call it my mom mobile. taking home lots of kids or 8-foot sheets of plywoods or new trees, the car has been perfect for that. Also, to combat the issues of the car, I declared Thursdays to be Green Thursdays in the county and encouraged all county employees to take mass transit. My husband drops me off at the bus stop. People pull up and ask if there's something wrong. Isn't that Mayor Jacobs? Didn't I see you standing out on the road last week? And yes, it was me.
Representative Powell.
Well, I drive a fuel-efficient Nissan Altima.
Congresswoman Frankel.
I am what's called an easy rider. Do you know what that is? I ride the tri-rail. Now, my district runs from Riviera Beach to Fort Lauderdale. I do have a car. It's a Lincoln. I hardly ever drive it. I am a tri-railer, and I love it. It's fantastic.
Congressman Murphy, how about you?
A hybrid Chevy.
I have a Chevy Aveo. I know. You never heard of it. It's a 2005, but literally, I mean, it gets about 37 miles to a gallon.
Bob Perciasepe, you're not an elected official here, but as an EPA administrator, what you drive does send a message.
When I have to drive on a weekend, I have a high-performing hybrid, and I'm not going to tell you what car company it is.
The conversation at the Coastal Communities Town Hall featuring Florida State Representative Bobby Powell, Bob Perciasepe, Deputy Administrator of the EPA, Florida Congressman Patrick Murphy, Lois Frankel, Florida Congresswoman, Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummings, and Broward County Mayor Kristen Jacobs. Now, as we mentioned, the town hall invited Republican elected officials, but none accepted. Coming up, our conversation with Republican State Representative Holly Rauschein and Nicole Hefty, Director of Sustainability of Miami-Dade County, under Republican Mayor Carlos Jimenez. This is Elevation Zero, Rising Seas in South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to our Coastal Communities Town Hall from the Southeast Florida Climate Leadership Conference at the Broward County Convention Center. One national regulator from the EPA and five elected officials joined us, four from the state of Florida. The five elected officials were all Democrats. As we mentioned, water does not respect political boundaries or distinctions. We spoke with Nicole Hefty, who serves as the Director of Sustainability under Miami-Dade County Mayor Republican Carlos Jimenez. We also spoke with Republican Florida State Representative Holly Rauschein, who represents the Florida Keys.
The low-lying Florida Keys are especially vulnerable to climate change, and especially when it comes to sea level rise. We're seeing saltwater intrusion, we're seeing degradation of our coral reefs, and every time we have a severe weather event, we have a major issue with flooding, especially in the Lower Keys, Big Pine Key, all the way down to Key West. Stormwater is an issue. The fisheries are starting to be impacted, and just given the sensitive environmental nature of our coral reef archipelago, the effects are starting to become a little more extreme than they have been in years past.
Representative, do you agree with the science that it is rising seas, that seas are 9 inches higher today than they were, say, a century ago?
Absolutely, and that's just it. You have to look at the science and look at the evidence, and we do have those clear numbers. And just from a personal standpoint, I'm a native Alaskan, born and raised in Anchorage, and I used to have picnics on the Portage Glacier, and that glacier has since receded a mile and a half back. So even if you don't agree with the numbers, you can look at the physical evidence, and it is quite clear.
You've gone from one corner of the union to the other corner of the union, Representative.
I have. This is a really, really big issue we're facing.
Director Hefty, as the Director of Sustainability at Miami-Dade County, operating under the administration of Mayor Jimenez, what kind of evidence do you point to in Miami-Dade County of rising seas?
Well, we've been looking at the records for quite a while because the county has been on the forefront of climate change issues since the early 1990s, starting with what we could do to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. And so when we initiated the compact, we knew that that was one of the first things we needed to address, is to come up with a consensus for sea level rise projection for the region, so we could then start using those projections for planning. And so, we have the evidence of the Key West tide gauge, and as the representative said, it's very clear. And in addition, we do see those king tides in the spring and particularly in the fall, and we just had one last week and earlier in October, where you do see the tide coming up through the stormwater drains on the coastline. So when you speak to folks who have lived here for quite a while, they will tell you that this was not happening when they were kids, and that it is certainly happening more frequently. So the evidence is very clear.
The compact you refer is the Southeast Florida Climate Change Compact between Monroe County, which of course is represented by Representative Rauschein, who we're speaking with now, Miami-Dade County, Broward, and Palm Beach. From the county commissioner perspective, Director Hefty, how would you gauge the acknowledgement of the need for that kind of compact?
In early 2009, when the representatives from the four counties were up in D.C., we realized that the four counties were working on these issues, but we were using different numbers, different projections. We each had task force. And it became apparent that it didn't make sense for us to be doing this individually, that our region was really going to be affected, and that we needed to really pull our forces together and address this as a region. And it was through their leadership that by early 2010, all four counties had adopted the resolution and had become the four-county compact. And since then, as you know, the counties have been working very closely together on policy, planning, and action to really begin to make our community more resilient. And we have commissioners now that have also kind of taken this up. And in fact, Chairwoman Rebecca Sosa just recently initiated a sea level rise task force that will specifically be looking at sea level rise and what that means for our community, and we'll come up with some recommendations on how They think the county should address that looking forward.
There's the old saying that all politics is local. Representative Rauschein, I'm curious as to your thoughts on the engagement in the part of the State House, the Florida State House in Tallahassee, when it comes to the threat of rising seas that you've articulated for your district. Representative Powell from North Broward and Palm Beach has said that it's very difficult in the State House to have a conversation in regards to climate change with representatives once you get north of Palm Beach County. Would you agree?
Sure, absolutely. And it can be a political issue, but I don't necessarily see it that way personally, only given that the hard scientific evidence is out there and available. And really, it's a matter of striking a balance and, with the human factor and what us humans have done to quicken the process and versus, just the natural changing planet. And I think, distinguishing between those issues and educating my fellow colleagues and everybody being exposed to just what exactly we are going to face in the very, very near future. One thing I always like to point out is there are a lot of resources that are put towards healthcare and education, and those are the two most important things absolutely that we oversee and we're concerned about at the state level. But I don't think that there's quite enough resources that are pointed towards water policy, and obviously sea level rise is a major, major factor in that. For example, Monroe County, we pipe our drinking water down from Miami-Dade County. It's a very, very vulnerable, compact and agreement we have going, just given the sensitive nature. It comes down from a pipe from Dade County. I mentioned earlier about saltwater intrusion. It just adds to the complexity of the situation. We have our own wastewater issues in the Keys, the industrial usage, and so on and so forth. But I really think that the conversation is going to, if it's not going to be had willingly, it may be forced upon us, given the fact that Key West is the outlook is pretty dim when it comes to sea level rise.
What you'll hear from Democratic representatives in the State House, and certainly what we heard during our town hall from Democratic representatives in Congress for South Florida, is lack of acknowledgement at best on the part of Republicans to the threat of the issue, and at worst, a lack of acknowledgement on the science at all in regards to climate change.
Sure, and that's disappointing for sure. And I happen to be a very, very environmentally conscious Republican. In fact, I even had some green elephant buttons made up just in trying to do a little campaign on the notion that, Republicans can be environmentally sensitive and environmentally concerned. And I think there are a number of us out there, given the fact that we represent coastal areas in the state of Florida. I mean, why do folks come to Florida? They come to go to Disney World, and then they come to experience the pristine environment and our fabulous natural resources. And I think a lot of that is tied to businesses and more GOP favored issues like business and the economy and jobs, and many of those jobs depend on a sound environmental policy.
Director Hefty, the Office of Sustainability in Miami-Dade County, the representative talked about economics and business community. How would you gauge the engagement on the part of business communities that you work with in Miami-Dade County to the threat of rising seas to our local economy?
Well, I would certainly like to see more engagement, and we have been working with the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce, and they've had a couple workshops. In fact, they're having another one here in, I think, another week or so to, again, engage the business community on sea level rise and what does that mean for them and the future.
And I just wanted to piggyback on the director's comments, and it really is about looking to the future. Certainly my son, who's only 2 years old, he's going to have to face these issues in the forefront, and I think it's really about planning for the future and not setting up our children and grandchildren for a world of hurt. And I know at the state level, agencies like the Department of Environmental Protection, I know, are engaged. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission are engaged.
I know the Department of Agriculture and Commissioner of Agriculture Adam Putnam is up to speed on these issues, and I think that the workshops and awareness are a nice start, but we may need to take it up a notch.
We've heard from the Florida Department of Transportation, for instance, that it does not have an official policy that requires FDOT projects to take into consideration sea level rise. And the explanation that we heard from FDOT was because, to put it bluntly, it hasn't risen to the level of a statewide issue.
Interesting.
How do you respond?
Well, actually, it's funny you mentioned that. Next week, the secretary, Anaf Prasad, who's a great supporter in the Keys and has been very helpful for us, I am going to be meeting with him in the morning, and I'm also having lunch with him on the 20th. So I'm actually going, I would be happy to have that conversation with him and see how we can maybe get that tweaked.
When it comes to the response to the threat of rising seas, a number of folks have pointed to the real estate industry, the development, the kinds of developments that we still continue to see here in South Florida. Representative Rauschein, is there enough being done on a state level and Director Hefty at a local level to have smart development? In other words, development that acknowledges the threat of rising seas, not just in a decade, but in a generational time.
No, absolutely. And as the director mentioned earlier, Monroe County and Miami-Dade, and especially Monroe County, we are under the strictest building code in the state, and Miami-Dade is pretty strict as well. And
But much of that building code is addressed toward, obviously, storm threat. And windstorm threat and storm surge threat, not a general encroachment of the sea level.
Well, and the Florida Keys are under a different designation. We're designated as an area of critical state concern. And so the state oversees all development, and we have a limited amount of building permits and so on and so forth that we are allowed each given year. And I just think now that people are starting to take this threat seriously and are looking for that guidance that you speak of. And I think things like the county coalitions come together and the compacts. As soon as we have recommendations and things like that, I think that would be a good time to move forward and request of the state some principles and guidelines on how we move forward.
From a county perspective, could you envision more county incentives for different types of developments that would acknowledge and recognize and respond to the threat of rising seas, Director?
Well, we're actually moving in that direction. The county just approved the Comprehensive Development Master Plan. This new revision has language in it that looks at considerations for both sea level rise and climate change, and the challenge, one of the many challenges with climate change, is that there's no crystal ball, and so the impacts are dependent on so many different factors, and so we have to move forward incrementally. Climate change impacts and sea level rise certainly are going to be constant moving target, and we're going to have to really continue to look at the newest information, the newest data, and see what steps we need to take forward that make sense now, but also help us in the future. And
one of the other responses that we've seen on the part of the federal EPA toward greenhouse gases and emissions toward climate change has been fuel standards and the emission standards for electric generating utilities. It was said in our town hall, ladies, that the elephant in the room, not to refer to Republicans, but to refer to fossil fuels being put into the atmosphere. Representative Rauschein, is there more that Florida as a state needs to do to address the longer term solutions to the contributors to rising seas?
Sure. When it comes to sound energy policies and how we move forward, absolutely. Diversifying the fuels that we use, getting away from fossil fuels. Talk about natural gas.
But that's still a fossil fuel that still, contributes to emissions.
Is there an abundance of it, and is it cleaner? I'm not a scientist. Is it better than than oil, drilling for oil. You know, there are definitely conversations being had. I represent an area that includes Turkey Point, the nuclear power plant. They're slated to perhaps get two new reactors. Is that the right direction to move forward? I would venture to say many people say no. But we're about to be the third largest state in the nation here very soon. So however we do move forward, we need to move forward in a sustainable way, in a green way as possible.
Do you support the expansion of Turkey Point?
You know, I haven't. I have not sat down and really looked at that. It's actually something that I'm going to consider. I'm going on a tour December 3rd of the plant, and I would like to educate myself and learn a little bit more before I take a stance on that. I have not weighed in, though.
It's interesting, when we do talk about a more diversified energy portfolio, FPL, obviously the electricity generator for much of South Florida, has diversified greatly away from oil-fired electricity power plants into natural gas power plants, but yet still a fossil fuel, still burning fossil fuels that contribute to the greenhouse gas emissions. Cleaner, yes, but still a fossil fuel. So, Representative, as you talk about kind of a greener portfolio, what do you have in mind? I mean, what could Tallahassee support?
Well, we certainly can't require everybody to use hybrids and things like that.
It was asked at our town hall of the representatives and myself about what automobile we drive. So let me put that same question to you, Representative Rauching. What do you drive?
I drive a Jeep Grand Cherokee.
And Director Hefty?
I drive a Honda Odyssey van.
Miami-Dade County's Sustainability Chief Nicole Hefty and Florida Republican Representative Holly Rauching of Key Largo. To find out what threat you may face from rising seas, your home, your place of work, you can visit WLRN.org and use the new interactive tool that gives South Floridians a window into our environmental future. It's under the Environment tab at WLRN.org. Look for Surging Seas Risk Finder. Thank you to the Southeast Florida Regional Climate Leadership Summit and the Fort Lauderdale-Broward County Convention Center for hosting our Coastal Communities Town Hall. For WLRN, John Labonia, Victor Kendall, Peter Merritt, and Krista Angeles. For WLRN Miami Herald News, Terrence Shepard, Alicia Zuckerman, Elaine Chen, Maria Muriel, Daniel Hicks, Steph Farrow, Julia Duba, and the entire WLRN Miami Herald News team. This is Elevation Zero, Rising Seas in South Florida, a Coastal Communities Town Hall and GOP Response. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening.